Amen. Let's take our Bibles now.
And let's go to 2 Timothy again, chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we'll be looking at the rest of the chapter this evening. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And as you turn there, I'll put you up here for now. As you turn there, I want to give by way of introduction here this. A natural thing for folks to do today is to shame people based upon their beliefs, their opinions, and different things like that. A lot of that's probably due to sin nature and stuff like that. But there are a lot of people today who just want to make people feel bad for what they believe in, or they want them to just, try to discourage you, I guess would be a different, better word probably to mention there. Divisions try to creep up amongst people due to what they believe or teach or advocate for or against. In sharing the gospel, many try to discredit and discourage your faith in Jesus. When you've shared the gospel, have people try to question you. If you haven't, I want to be in your circle. Because I cannot tell you how many times I've had people tell me, "You're wrong." I'm like, "From the Bible, you're wrong." But again, I have to speak the truth in love, which, I'm going to go off on a little trail here, and I'll come back. But there was an instance where I was sharing the gospel with somebody right over here on the steps. It was before a practice for a patriotic concert that we were doing, and this guy, we ran into him, I don't know, like a month or so previous, and I guess I grew up with him in the same neighborhood, which I don't remember, which usually I can remember some stuff pretty well. And this guy, we're talking, and he's telling me basically this, is that you can take your name out of the book of life. I'm thinking to myself, are you stronger than God? No, that's not what I'm saying. That's what you're trying to tell me. And then next thing he knows, he says, "You're not speaking the truth in love." I'm like, "You're not getting what I'm trying to tell you. I'm showing you the Bible. And I'm not yelling at you. I'm not saying, you heathen, repent." I mean, I could have done that, but I didn't. But it's just that some people, when you try to share Jesus, they try to shame you and try to discourage you. And you probably have experienced that at least more than once. And again, if you haven't, let me know, because I'd like to know how that doesn't happen. I mean, when you're a little child, that's probably a different scenario. But as an adult, you get questioned without fail. Tonight, we're going to look at a prisoner's point of view here who was not ashamed and encourages others to do the same. And that's what we're going to see here in 2 Timothy chapter 1 from 8 down to 18, is really the fact that we should not be ashamed to share the gospel of Christ. So verse number 8 says this. It says, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Tonight I want to bring to you a message entitled "Not Ashamed." And what I submit to you is this evening: do not be ashamed to tell about Jesus. The world needs it. Let me say it again. Do not be ashamed to tell about Jesus, because the world needs it. It needs it now more than ever before. Let's pray, and then we will dwell into this and the rest of the chapter here. Father, we thank you for the day you've given to us. We thank you for the opportunity that we have here, that we can be with you, that we can be able to come around your word, that we can do it freely. Father, I pray that you would just be with us here this evening. Help our minds to be calm. Help the distractions that it might be going on that can be taken away. And that we can just focus just these few minutes here, and that we can just hear from your word tonight. Help me as I preach just to be clear and plain, and that be simple, easy to understand. And Father, for those who are watching by way of Facebook, those who will be watching now currently, those watching later, that you would just help all of us, even those here in person, that we can be better servants of you and that we can leave better here changed than we did when we came in. We ask these things here in Jesus' name. Amen. So, just work one quick second. I'm trying to try two different things here at once. Yeah, there we go. Okay, cool. So, the first thing I want to look at is in verses 8 through 11. I want to look at this idea of not being ashamed. Verse number 8 says this: "Be not thou therefore ashamed." Well, in the beginning, and this is where it ties in from the morning service about being sincere in your faith, is God's given us not the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. So now, Paul's trying to now say to Timothy, "Be not thou therefore ashamed." Romans chapter 1, verse 16 tells us that we ought not to be ashamed. And for some reason, this verse has not stayed in my head. It has flown away, so I'm going to look it up so that way I can say it to you accurately. But Romans chapter 1 and verse number 18 tells us these words here: "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." There's a choice there. And that's what the one guy wasn't understanding. And a lot of people understand today, it is a choice. People can choose to accept. People can choose to reject. To everyone that believes, salvation is for them. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Paul was the same one who wrote that, who tells Timothy, "Be not thou therefore ashamed." Ashamed here is to feel shame, to be disappointed. This is not going to come up just in this verse, but it's going to come up two other times in this very same chapter. What is Paul trying to tell Timothy? What's Paul trying to tell us today? Don't be ashamed of being a Christian. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Stir up that fire and build it and encourage it. The usage here indicates a choice to be or not to be ashamed. So Paul is telling Peter, wrong person, Paul is telling Timothy, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of" what? "The testimony of our Lord." Maybe Timothy felt some shame. This is speculative at this point. But again, as we alluded to this morning, when was the last time Timothy saw Paul? When Paul was going to Rome, they were in the ship together, they got shipwrecked, went to the island of Melita. Paul got bit, and he was healed, and they get their way off into the city of Rome. And that's the last time Timothy met and saw Paul, most likely. Him and Luke went off back their own various different directions here. So maybe Timothy felt some shame in the fact that his leader, his mentor, is in jail for the gospel. And so Paul is saying here, as a prisoner, writing this as a prisoner of Jesus Christ, don't be ashamed. There's no shame in telling about Jesus. I think that's going to be tested more now today than it probably has been in years past. I think a conversation this morning, this afternoon, alluded to that, is that there's going to be more people who are going to have to make a choice whether to stand up for God or to hide away from God. You know, people who stood up for God in the past, a lot of people made it, some people didn't. I think of the 1500s, where there were people who were trying to translate the Bible into the English language, and because they had done that, they were burned. I think of William Tyndale, betrayed by his own best friend, Henry Phillips. Why? Money was involved. I think of another guy who at first rejected that they should have never translated the Bible. And then when he saw Tyndale die, he's like, okay, I should do it. I should go and go full out. And he got arrested. He himself was burned at the stake. Do I think that's going to happen today? I sure hope not. But there are people today, as we speak, who are being arrested and persecuted for the faith. But here's the thing. Paul says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." Why? Didn't Jesus suffer any trials along the way in his life? You remember any of those? He was beaten, mocked, scourged, crown of thorns on his head, beaten 39 times, beard torn off. I mean, If Jesus had to suffer while he was here, you think there might be times where we may have a problem that people are going to have against Jesus Christ? Now, hopefully that will never happen to us in that fact that we would get beaten or shamed. But if it is, are you ready for it? He says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." Notice the next phrase, "nor of me his prisoner." Let me go back to that word testimony for a second here. The Greek word for testimony here is a Greek word called martyrion. That word may sound familiar, mature. Don't be ashamed of the maturity or the testimony of our Lord. The evidence or the witness. Nor of me as prisoner. Paul said, "Hey, I'm a prisoner. I'm okay with this. I'm okay that I was put in jail for the cause of Christ." Peter and John in Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 3, they were put in jail for preaching Jesus. And what did they say? "We can't help but speak his name." They told him, "Don't speak in Jesus' name anymore. We can't help it. That fire is within us and it burns within us." So verse 8 continues, "But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Be a partaker, be in association with, I think, of Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." And the end of this verse says, "Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel." According to who? The power of God. Who's going to protect you? Who's going to aid you through these afflictions? God. So what do we have to be ashamed of? Embarrassment? Pride? I mean, we could go through a whole series on church history on people who've been tortured, beaten for the cause of Christ. I could tell you the story of the Columbine shooting where the girl at 15 years old had a gun pointed to her head, told her, "Do you believe in God?" "I do." Shot her right there on the spot. 15-year-old kid. April 15th, 1999. Shocked me in the first place because I never thought guns could even be in school. It shook us. And of course, now we've seen a whole lot more of that going on in more recent times. But that shook us in our very core. But she was willing to die for Jesus. So, here's the reason why Paul says, "Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." There's no period at the end of that verse, because verse number 9, "Who has saved us?" You know, if they take your life from this world, guess where you're going? Aren't you going to a better place? You're going to heaven. Who can threaten you with heaven? I mean, especially in the world that we live in today. I think sometimes it'd be better to be up there than it is to be down here. So continuing the thoughts together in verse 8 and 9, "But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling." Now I want you to notice how the Bible is in harmony here. I want you to notice at the end of verse 8 here, 9, let me put it on the screen there for you, "But according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Notice in verse 9, he didn't call us and save us because of our good. He called us, saved us because of his own purpose and grace, God's love and kindness toward us, which was given in Jesus Christ before the world began. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called," or "the called, according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate that to be conformed in the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also called, and whom he called, then them he also justified. In whom he justified, them he also glorified. God knew that redemption was going to be needed. God knew it was going to come, and it needed to come, because man is wicked, and man needed a Savior. And we're saved, not because of what we've done good. We're saved because of his purpose and grace. We're saved because we trusted Jesus Christ to be our Savior. Verse number 10 continues that thought, but is now made manifest, now revealed, by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light. Through what? The gospel. The good news. Salvation is not, oh, I can do good and get myself up to heaven. No, no, no. The Bible is just proving this right now. And if it doesn't prove it here, it just says it over and over again. And if people want to say, oh, the Bible is full of errors. Well, the Bible was full of errors. And why can things connect from years past, many years ago, and still connect today? Now, granted, you can also say, well, Paul wrote Ephesians and Paul wrote this. Well, what's the gospel? Luke says, for I bring unto you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. What's the good tidings there? The Greek word is the evangelicum, which means the gospel, the good news. Luke, yeah, he was associated with Paul, but they wrote those books in completely different time frames. At least a good 20 years apart. And Paul's writing this in prison. You can't tell me that the Bible does not go together. It harmonizes together. Jesus took that shame for us. Verse 10, but as now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. He made death useless. He made it idle. He did away with it. Now, does that mean that I'm going to not die? No. Spiritual death is he's talking about, that separation from God. We're all going to die physically unless the rapture comes, which a lot of us are probably hoping it's soon. But we're going to be leaving this body sometime. So who knows when? It could be tomorrow. Life is but a vapor, appears for a little while and vanisheth away. But we're going to be separated from this sinful body, but being up in our glorified body, if you trust Jesus Christ to be your Savior. That's the key thing. It's not because of what I did or what church I go to or all the good things I've done or the denomination I attend. No, it is, have you trusted Jesus Christ by grace through faith to save you, not works? Grace alone. Jesus brings life and eternity through the gospel. That Jesus died on that cross for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Verse number 11, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Jews. Notice Paul's call there. First thing, he says he's a preacher. He's a herald of divine truth. He is an apostle. We talked about that this morning. A little more so. He was a delegate. He was an ambassador for God. He was one trained by God for 3 years, backside of a desert in Arabia, saw Jesus' resurrected body. And he was a teacher of Gentiles. He went out and reached people like you and I through our great, 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 great ancestors from many thousands of years ago. I'm thankful for Paul's ministry. Are you? But if Paul didn't go and went to Europe and shared the gospel, didn't go to, well, and that spread out elsewhere. What if he didn't go? Could we have any hope? We would be of all men most miserable. So first of all, we see here that Paul tells us to not be ashamed. It's not the first time he's going to mention it. He's going to mention it 2 more times in this chapter. But Paul is trying to encourage Timothy to not be ashamed. Now, we will see how Paul endured trials for the Lord. And that's verses 12 to the end of the chapter here. Verse number 12 says this, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Did Paul suffer? If you read I think it's 2 Corinthians 11, or maybe 1 Corinthians 11. I can't remember off the top of my head. But verse 23 all the way down to the end of the chapter, there's a lot of things that Paul went through. Stoned twice, whipped, all that things. But he said, none of that bothers me because I did it for Jesus. I can't imagine. And here's the other thing too. Paul, before he got saved, he did the same exact thing to the Christians. But then he saw the light, literally, got saved, and he himself was being for the Lord. But I want you to notice in verse 12 here, even though he endures in his persecutions, verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. He says, even though I went through all these things, I'm not ashamed. Why? And I wish I could have picked this song tonight, hymn 224. We could. But here's the thing at the end of verse 12. For I know whom I have believed. Why is he not ashamed? Because he knows who he has believed in. Who is he believed in? Jesus Christ. And am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. That Jesus will keep his word, that if I trust him to be my Savior, I'm going to be saved. When that day of judgment comes, I'm going to be up there in heaven with him. That's what Paul's trying to say there. I'm not ashamed because I know I'm going to be there. And the question is, will you and I be there too? If you've asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you will be. Those viewing online, have you asked Jesus to be your Savior? If you have, you'll be there one day. You'll be able to be know you believe, and you're persuaded that Jesus will keep that and he will deliver us. Verse number 13 says this, to be attentive, hold fast the form of sound doctrine. Let me read that again because I said that wrong. Hold fast the form of sound words that thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Notice the sound words, truthful words. We got to speak truth. Sometimes the speaking truth going to be hurtful to people. You telling someone they're a sinner and they need to be saved by grace through faith, is that going to hurt somebody on the inside? Most likely, because people don't like to be told that they're wrong. But hold fast. Continue. The form of sound words, what? Which thou hast heard of me, stay faithful to your teaching, stay faithful to the word of God. How? In faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. He knows how, when he says this, he says, hey, when you talk to people, I want you to talk in truth. I want you to talk faithfully. I want you to do it lovingly. When you talk to people about Jesus, be caring to them. Verse number 14. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep. That good thing which is committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. You know, the Holy Spirit's here to guide us. Sometimes we shut him out. But he's telling us, allow it to go. Allow that Holy Spirit to keep working in you, keep working in your life. It's a good thing. Verse number 15. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. You know, people are going to turn away. There are going to be people that you know who you thought We're going to be your best buddies and your best pals. And the next thing you know, you say something and you just offended them so much that they just leave you. Are people going to turn away? Well, Paul gives an example. Of whom are Phrygilus and Hermogenes. Who are these guys? I really don't know. But these were probably people who were very well known to Paul. And they turned away. At the end of the section, we're going to be looking at the end of the book, we're going to be looking at a few people who made some choices that were good and bad that abandoned Paul. Paul literally feels that he's all alone. And we'll get toward that when we get to the end of this book, but he feels he's at the end of his life and he feels like no one's there for him. So he's trying to say, stay faithful, stay true. There are going to be people who are going to turn away. There are going to be people who are going to say things and do things that you may not like, but we need to stay faithful to the Word of God. We need to not be ashamed of the gospel. And then he gives an example of someone who stayed faithful. Verse 16 and 17. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. Notice how much this guy even goes out even further. Verse 17. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. This guy, Onesiphorus, don't know too much about him, but he was a guy who literally tried to find a way to reach out for Paul. Didn't care how it happened. Didn't care in any way, shape, or form. He was going to get there. He was going to get there because he wanted to be refreshed by Paul. Sometimes when we get in a bind, we tend to close people out. Or when things happen to somebody, we tend to kind of turn around the other way and I'm like, oh, sorry for you. It sucks for you. I'm just going to keep moving on. No. This guy diligently seeked out Paul. When he was in, and he didn't even live in Rome. He probably lived in some other place. Why? Verse 17. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently. He didn't give up until he found me. And he kept going. And what was that? Verse 18. The Lord grant unto him, to Onesiphorus, that he might find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus that thou knowest very well. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy. Onesiphorus went the extra mile to try to reach out for Paul. Paul influenced this guy greatly. Again, we don't know too much about him just from what we see in this chapter here, but he was a man who stayed faithful, unlike the other two people who forsook him. And many people did forsake Paul, and we'll look at that at the end of the book. And Paul probably felt very lonely because he felt because people abandoned him because of what he preached for the gospel and was arrested for it. But what I'm saying to you is this, in conclusion, is we should not be ashamed of Jesus. Persecution will come, but don't run away from it. Do not forsake others when they are in a trial. God wants us to support and build each other up. Three times Paul said, I'm not ashamed. Verse 8, verse 12. And another section, I can't remember where it's at, but I know I've mentioned seeing it three times. Oh, verse 16, not ashamed of my chain. Paul reiterated the fact that he wasn't ashamed for Jesus Christ. And what's the challenge for you and I? Challenge for you and I is this, is that we ought not to be ashamed of the gospel of God. We ought not to wonder what's going to happen, but we should stay faithful. We should, as we talked about this morning, we should stay sincere to the Word of God. We should be real. We shouldn't just fake Christianity and just do it when we feel like it. No, it's a continual thing. Will people abandon you along the way? It will. It's going to happen. You say, no, it's never happened to me. Well, I'm glad. But some people in this room, someone's probably abandoned you along the way because of your stand for the faith. But Paul says, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of God, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. We don't need to be ashamed because God is there for us. We don't need to be ashamed of the testimony of God. And that's what Paul's trying to encourage us here within the book of 2 Timothy so far. Next week, we'll look at some verses in chapter 2 about being able to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ next Sunday night, and different other examples that Paul's trying to encourage. 2 Timothy, and I mentioned this morning, and then we'll pray, and then we'll start to conclude the service. 2 Timothy is a book written to encourage the believer. There's not really much in the way of new teachings and new doctrines. 2 Timothy is more of a practical book, especially in a time that we live in today where there might be persecution that's going to come. There's going to be people that are going to test your faith. And Paul's trying to encourage them, be sincere. Be genuine in your faith, but don't be ashamed, because God's still going to be there for you. And don't give up. Doesn't matter what stage of life we're in. We're in our early 20s, 30s, 50s, 70s, 80s. Don't give up until the day that you breathe that last breath and God brings you home. Don't be discouraged. Don't be ashamed. Because God will be there for us. That's what I want to encourage you with this evening. Father, we come to you in prayer. We thank you for the day you've given to us. We thank you for the opportunity that we have just to be here this evening, and we can have the freedom to worship. We can have the freedom to be able to share your word. Father, help us that we cannot be ashamed. First is going to come up later on in 2 Timothy. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Father, I pray that you would just help us that we cannot be ashamed of the gospel, that we cannot, don't need to be ashamed of the testimony of God. And I pray that you would encourage us along that way. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, we're going to do the invitation just a little different this evening. We're going to have the music play. But I just want you to, in the stillness of the music, in the comfort of your pew, I want you just to take a minute or two or three or however long. And I want you just to talk to God, and I want you to pray to God that he can help all of us to not be ashamed. Maybe there's someone who might be just a little fearful because of the times we're living in today. Maybe those watching by way of Facebook. Maybe people have said things to you and you kind of feel like you want to turn away from the faith because people just don't care. People do care. There are people out there who will want to hear. But it's just praying to have God help you along that way. As the music plays, just in the stillness of that sound, I want you to pray and just ask God to give you the strength to be able to be real in our faith, and that we cannot and don't need to be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord.